Amen. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, what a sweet spirit in this house. Amen. And Lord, we thank you for those that you touch with the gift of song and testimony and talent. And we thank you that they were willing to share it this morning. And the whole church was blessed. And so, Lord, may we continue to live that the world might be blessed in the name of Jesus. Amen? Amen. All right, you may be seated. Man, how many of y'all glad to be alive? You made it through another week? Everything's good? All right, good deal. Bobby Cowles and Coach Stinson, I want to thank you all for making history. You had a good layout in the paper. And I want you all to give the Greenwood football team a hand. They won the first playoff game in history, and that's good. We're going to celebrate that. That's awesome. And so here's what I want you to know today. Those who are in Christ are capable of loving acts. Those who are in Christ are capable of loving acts, activity. And I want you to go with me to 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. And we're going to hit it again. Who are we supposed to be? That really needs to be the question that you begin to ponder on as we go through this truth in God's Word. Who are we? Who are we as a community of people who believe in Jesus Christ? Now, I want to note to you, I don't personally believe the church can do business like it's been doing business and everything will be all right. Okay, that's what I'm going to propose to you today. The church cannot continue to do business like it's been doing business and everything be all right. Because one of the things I've found is everything is not all right. Amen. Has anybody made that observation? Now, I'm not an alarmist. I don't work for CNN, ABC, NBC, Fox News, or any of the news stations. All right? I want you to know that if you're going to bear the name of Christ, you are called to be a difference maker. And if you don't make a difference, you might need to check because you might not bear the name of Christ. You might bear your name and you associate Jesus with your name. Now that's backwards. Or as a farmer I used to work for would say, backwards. That's a backwards way of doing that, okay? We need to get a forward way of doing that, and I want to line this up. Have you noticed that Jesus baptizes us in the power of the Holy Spirit? We don't baptize ourselves. We don't go get it, He gives it. Now, once we got it, it will come out of you to bless others. Here's what I want you to know. People ask me all the time. They say, well, man, that Christian's faking it. I said, no, they're not. You can't fake genuine belief. Here's all you can fake is religion. And if you notice, people who fake it have more religious language than the dictionary. And I want to tell you something right now. The world would like for us to shut up. The world would like the church to shut up. Here's why. I'm going to agree with the world. I do think we need to shut up and start living out. Amen. See, what they miss is we got all these flowery words, but we don't have any activity associated with our flowery words. Eventually, you have to quit talking, and it has to make a difference in your life. How do we talk about the church being faithful when the church will only tithe 2%? How do we talk about the church being faithful when we fight each other more than we fight the battle in the world? How can we talk about being faithful till we become what? Faithful. And see what the deal is, really the church is going to grow when it gets tougher. Now, I think these are exciting times for the church because guess what? It weeds out the wannabes. See, when things get tough, you find out how great thou art. Which is, you know who your God is. How many of y'all have ever been through a crisis? Now, everybody gets holy during a crisis. Would you agree with me? There's some locations I find where God is very prominent. One's at the hospital. Especially when you got going one of them serious rooms, everybody gets close to God. Another place that God's mentioned a lot is the prison. God hangs out at the prison. As soon as you get locked up, everybody gets holy. Have you noticed that? People tell me, man, I met Jesus in prison. I said, good, we'll see when you get out if you really met him. Here's what I found. You want him when you're in there. Do you want him when you have the freedom out of there? See what I'm saying? We got to get real with this thing. In another place, that just financial problems. Everybody gets holy during financial problems. Have you noticed that? We'll spend, put everything in credit, go halfway bankrupt. And as soon as we're bankrupt, who are we calling upon? Jesus, oh, Lord, bail us out. Oh, Lord, I'm in trouble. What if God ever whispered this? Did you follow my principles as you were going along? Now, let me ask y'all a question. We're called to make a difference by loving people. Now, I'm going to tell you something today. It's going to be a hard lesson, but it's on. Y'all want to hear it or you want me to just skip it? You want me to skip it or tell you the truth? This is absolute truth. If you call upon the name of Jesus and you love Jesus Christ, you got to love people. You can't hate people and love Jesus. If you hate people and say you love Jesus, let me help you. You don't love Jesus. Because if you love Jesus, you're going to love what he loves and guess what he loves. Even messed up people. How many of y'all have ever met a messed up person? How many of y'all, every morning you wake up, you're waking up with a messed up person? Me too. And you love people. Because I'm going to show you how important that is. Go with me to 1 John chapter 3. Now, 1 John, I love the letter of 1 John. They're in the midst of all this false teaching. And the writers there in John are saying, this is the main thing. If you're going to follow Jesus Christ, this is the main thing. Now, here's what I want you to catch at Hillview. It is important, and people are important at Hillview Heights Church. All different types of people. But now, this is what love is. Love is to get the truth to people so that they might be set free, so that they can love God freely and not be bound by the things of the world. Does that make sense? Right now, y'all are watching people just go crazy because we're all bound in debt. How many of y'all found that debt is dangerous? We got companies, you know, GM. Oh, gosh, we need a bailout. Why didn't you make a competitive car? You wouldn't believe what our teachers have to go through. I was talking to one of my teaching buddies the other day, and he had to get a load of work ready for a student who had failed. And I looked and I said, I've never heard such ridiculous stuff in my life. I said, what do you mean? You got to get a load of work out for a student that failed. And they said, we have a zero failure policy. I said, that's impossible. Because human beings, some of them will what? So what we really do is we have a con artist policy. I'm not really going to let you know what grades you made. I'm going to smooth it over and pretend like you're everybody else because you won't pay the price to get it. Now, let me tell you something. The reason I'm telling you this, the world will con you, Jesus will save you. You better write that down, Mark. That was a good one. The world will con you, Jesus will what? But he tells us the truth. How many of y'all realize you got to get to the truth before you can get saved? How many of y'all came to Jesus like this and said, you know what, I'm kind of bad? No, he didn't say, Lord, I'm real bad. And I've broken your principles, and so now I understand how much you love me. In spite of me not getting everything right, you're willing to come into my life anyway. See how much more powerful grace is that way? I don't deserve to be saved. Grace is, God loves me so much, he'll save me. Now, guess what? I think we need to be in the business of really helping people change. What do you think? And most of us don't want to be in that business because you got to get with what before you get change? Truth. And here's the reason I don't go with that zero failure policy. I've failed before. When I made an F, guess what the teacher gave you? F. My first semester in college, I was flagged. And I came in and tried to tell my parents that that F stood for fantastic student. But they did not believe me. You know what that F stood for? Failure to meet the requirements of the class. It didn't mean I was dumb. It didn't mean I was a bad person. It meant that I did not go to class. It meant that while others were in class, I was playing pool in the student center. It meant that while others were doing their homework, I was in Lexington eating pizza at Joe Bologna's enjoying social activity. It meant that while others were studying for their test, I was off deer hunting and surveying the possibilities of the weekend. So at the end of my chosen activity, the teacher decided to say, "You have failed to meet the requirements of the situation." Back then, President Reagan was in charge, and if I had called him, he'd have said, "You're going to have to take the class again. I do not have any bailout opportunity. You have chosen to not participate in a functional way, and there is a penalty for your behavior." Tell your neighbor, say, "Oh my God." Tell him, come on, tell him, "Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God." And that's what we need to cry out to him. "Oh my God." You know what I had to do after I made those bad grades? It's awful. Go home. How many of y'all have ever had to go home for the... Some of y'all, college students, you in the same situation right now. Now, listen, you still have salvation left. Thanksgiving is coming. If you'll do some of your work before Thanksgiving, there is a possibility of salvation at Christmas. But you know what I did at Thanksgiving? I went hunting. I had plenty of deer and not many grades. Because guess what? You really achieve what you invest yourself in. True? They say, "Why are you talking about all this?" Because sometimes we as human beings fail. And when we fail, we don't need to cover it up. We need to repent. How many great relationships have been lost because we were too prideful to just say these words? "I'm sorry. I didn't do the right thing. I didn't mean to hurt your feelings. I didn't mean to speak to you that way. Can you forgive me?" Most of the time, you know what people say? Kevin, most of the time, what do they say? "Yeah, I can forgive you. I make mistakes too." But most of the time, it doesn't happen in a lot of our relationships because we're too what? Got Christians walking around like this. "Well, they hurt my feelings. They didn't make me feel good. They didn't respect who I was." I thought you followed Jesus Christ. So you mean you can have that kind of attitude when you follow a Savior who was absolutely innocent, who never did anybody wrong, and was crucified unjustly? You can puff up and talk about all the people that have unjustly done you wrong. Lord have mercy, American Christians. We don't even know what pain is. We're fixing to. That's why I'm toughening you up. That we would make a difference with the Jesus we've been given. And I want to thank you because a lot of y'all stepped out there and made a difference. How many of y'all have decided when you make a difference, it gets messy? Whoo! What's the easiest thing to do in life? Just kind of step back and what? Let it flow and stay out of the traffic. How many of y'all found it's harder to get hit by a car if you stay out of traffic? And sometimes we want to do that in life. We want to step back and stay out of the what? The activity and the traffic and just, you know, I hope it all washes out. As long as I'm okay, everything's okay. That won't work if you're going to take up the cross of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ says simply this, you make a difference in the life you live. Now look, I'm not calling you to change the world. I'm calling you to make a difference where you what? Live. See, a lot of y'all want to be super Christians. You think you got to change the world. Well, God's not asking you to change the world. He's asking you to change the road you live on. Amen. He's asking you to really share with the people you meet. Now, check this out. If all of us just did that, what would happen? Ladies, can y'all imagine what the mall would sound like if y'all just became mall missionaries? See, we got enough missionaries. Claypool, we got enough missionaries to cover the mall. Guys, what would a deer hunting trip be like if you just took care of the buddies that were with you, or a fishing trip, or going to the game together, if you just took care of the people that were in your path? See, I think that's where we mess up. Just take care of the people that you encounter and begin to show them who Jesus is. If the church would simply begin to do that, I believe a lot of things would happen. And guess what? Dr. Blevins, that doesn't cost a lot of money. The church, we always want to organize something and put 100,000 things together and make sure there's $100,000 involved in it and do something that's splashing and flashy. And really, Jesus just said, man, take care of the people that are in front of you. The people that you encounter on a daily basis, let them know who I am. I just wonder what the church would look like if we got out of the stadiums and got in the streets. Just a hint. It's in the everyday life. Now look at John chapter 3, 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. And let's back up to verse 15. So I just want to give a warning to show you how intense this is. Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer. Hate for a human being is at the intensity of what? Murder. Now, here's what I want you to know. Look at the person next to you. If it's a female, that's a sister. If it's a male, that's a what? And just tell them, I cannot hate you. Come on, I cannot hate you. Y'all talk. And if you're full of hate, I'm going to give you a chance to come get rid of it at the altar, because it's going to kill you. All right? And it's a word. It's a word, a kind of a slang word that the young people use is don't be hating. Kathy, I understand that's not good English. I'm just using the slang, okay, the colloquial term. Don't be hating. How many of y'all have heard that? Don't be hating. Jim, poor Pac-Man boy, you know, in the Titans when he's running strip clubs, and somehow or another, every strip club that he went to, he got caught. He only went 3 times, but he got caught every time. And he had a lot of problems, but everybody was picking on him. You remember Pac-Man Jones, bless his heart? Everybody's picking on him. The world particularly chose to pick on him, according to him. It wasn't that he, you know, was doing some things that were inappropriate. See the world we're creating here? See the world we're creating here? But guess what? He would always say, I remember he had an interview, and it was such an intellectual interview. And I'm sitting here thinking, I live in a world that let people like that have millions of dollars. And he said, well, they just hating on me, man. Hating on me. Everybody's hating on me. Well, you know what? You and I can't be hating, but we need to be loving, because love always trumps the power of hate. And there's only one place that love is housed. Now be careful. You'll never find love in the government. Why? I don't care who's elected. I don't care who's dancing. I've studied the whole history of it. Some of y'all just got in politics 2 weeks ago. Okay, I've been in a long time, all right? Government will never bless you. Why? Who's it run by? People. Let's see how smart you are. What do people basically want? Since you are one, what do you basically want most of the time? Money. What else? Whatever I want. How many of y'all pretty much want most of the time whatever you want? I mean, that's the truth. Everybody. I don't know about you, but you can ask Elizabeth. If you said, Elizabeth, what does Steve want in the house most of the time? His way. How many of y'all, Eddie, what do you want in your house? I mean, you want your way. Now, Shirley ain't going to let you have it, but you want it. See what I'm saying? Look at poor Hampton up here. He can barely walk anymore, the way he's been beat down over the years. Trying to get his way, and Shirley have to boot him like that? Wore his legs out. Huh? But it's not our way. Really, what happens in conversion is this. My way moves out of the way, so that God's way can come into me, and now I'm capable of expressing His way instead of my way. Only the church is going to house this kind of love. Because look what it says. You cannot hate and believe. And church, I just want to check us up on this. Don't hate. You will be challenged. I don't know about you, but just in my personal life, I have felt more intensity in this nation in the last 6 months than my whole life. And guess what? Rich folks don't need to be hating poor folks, and poor folks don't need to be hating rich folks. It's about how do we together get better. I've never looked at a person and gone, they're rich. Because I don't know if they are or not. Watch this. Here's the beauty of Hillview. I don't care. I had one of my lawyer buddies. He came to Hillview. This was when we were still over in the chapel. So I called him up at noon or whenever we got done. All right, let me be honest. 3 o'clock, I called him up after we got out of church. I said, man, how'd you like church? And he said, well, honestly, I didn't like it at all. I said, hey, that's fine. I said, there's a lot of things I don't like. I said, a lot of people don't like lawyers. And I said, what did you not like about church so we can help? He said, nobody asked me what I did. And I started laughing on the phone. I said, nobody cares at Hillview. You see, his whole life was being a what? Lawyer. He went walking around and said, hello, my name's Lawyer. See what I'm saying? It's not about what I've trained myself to become. Who am I really? Am I a person that loves? Look what he says, 1 John chapter 3. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. Don't cheapen what's happened. You and I worship a God that was willing to do what? Lay down. How do you square that in a world that demands their rights? Boy, I got a silent in here, didn't it? What if Jesus demanded his rights? How would you like Jesus to be an American? If Jesus flowed under our philosophy, he would have killed every one of us. Because he had the right to demand a place of no sin. That was his right. And so since he didn't demand his right, he formed a relationship that led to salvation. Because he didn't indeed demand his what? He didn't say, my right is from heaven. Myself is heavenward. My situation is forever. And you are temporary. If I demand my right and impose my will, you won't exist. But instead, Jesus said, instead of demanding my rights, I'm going to expose my righteousness. And I'm going to offer salvation even where folk have messed up. I don't know about y'all, but that's pretty loving. Amen. Now, church, here's what we got to do. We got to lay it down. I know it sounds crazy. It's just crazy. It doesn't think like we think. You got to lay it down to get it moving on. Because that's what Jesus did. I laid down my life so that the world would get better. How many of y'all have laid down your life so the world will get better? Now, if you choose to be married, husbands, guess what you're going to have to do right off the bat? You're going to have to lay some things down. And your wife will love you. And then you don't have to go through a divorce. And then you don't have to have a bailout. See, these things all work together. How many of y'all found that divorce is expensive? Every time you demand your right, it costs you more than you think. And Jesus laid down his life. See, God wants to bless us. He laid down his life for us. You know what? To me, this is amazing. You know, why would Jesus lay down his life for me? What do you think? Go on, give me some ideas. What do you think? Merit, right? Because we were so good and so righteous and so pure. Did he lay down his life because we're Baptist? Did he lay down his life because he said, man, there's going to be a Hillview Heights church one day and they're going to have singers and lights and it's going to be so cool. They're going to have drums. I'm going to die for that. Or did he say, man, I tell you what, they're going to build a concrete styrofoam building one day. I'm going to go be crucified. Did he do it? Huh? Oh, boy, this will put it in perspective. Or did he look at you and I and say, without me making a move, they don't go to heaven? They can never be where I am if I don't lay it down. Hold on, church, for just a moment. What if we took that attitude? My desire is for my neighbor to understand the same heaven I got. If this whole church took that attitude, it would just create a question. What would that change in your conduct here? Fred, I'm glad your neighbor, bless your heart, I'm sorry about your neighbor, but you know, he's a good neighbor. Scott, his neighbor, one of our deacons, he had enough. Scott had enough guts, and he's a cool 30-year-old type. You know, he looks like a lot of people in America. He got a good-looking wife, and he got a good-looking kid, and he's doing American life. You know what I mean? Gets up every morning, goes to work, tries to make a living, comes home, does the whole thing. But guess what? He paused, and he had a buddy named Fred, and Fred, he said what? He began to talk about God. Now, Fred wasn't off. Fred, you were right in line with Kentucky folk. Amen? I mean, you big old strong male strapping guy, you had strong South Central Kentucky faith. I'm a good man. Don't beat my wife. Don't drink too much. Don't cuss in front of women. This is Kentucky salvation. And the final line of salvation in Kentucky, I ain't killed nobody. Y'all know what I'm saying? Cecil Goff, you know you've heard that. Hey, Cecil, have you heard that over in Ohio County? I've heard it. I used to preach when they wouldn't let me preach anywhere. I got to go preach where really they didn't want a preacher. And it was in Everholler in Kentucky. And we'd get in a revival. And I mean, it was snorting, stomping, sweating kind of revival. They didn't even have air conditioning in a lot of these churches in the summer. And these men, I love them. They'd come up to me and they'd hard. You know, they'd cold country or farming country. And they'd say, preacher, I don't know about this Jesus. I ain't killed nobody. I'm going to heaven. I ain't killed nobody. Now, for a while, I thought, they ain't killed nobody. I thought, they haven't worn a kilt. I wasn't sure. You know, I have to get these words. Kilt. It's a new word. Kilt nobody. It's like all one phrase. And what they were telling me, they hadn't killed anybody. So they thought as long as they didn't kill somebody, they were good to go. But Jesus said, hold on. I'm going to lay down my life. Now, what does it mean to lay down your life? It really means this. I want my brother and my sister to do as well as me. I want to have an intensity to help them get ahead. Now, hold on. This ain't spreading the wealth. This isn't spreading the wealth. I'm absolutely 110%. I want to go on record and probably on YouTube in this service. I want to go on record. I am absolutely 110% opposed to spreading the wealth. Because that's not a godly concept. You say, how you know? I've read the Bible. Jesus gave 5 talents to one guy, 2 talents to one guy, and 1 talent to another guy. Now, everybody had something. And I think everybody's to maximize their something. Now, here's our job in the church, is to help you maximize what God has given you. And if you will, there will be a blessed life in store for you. It's not about what I have, it's about who has me. See, that's the church. I'm not worried about y'all's money. How many of y'all ate today? Man, we're doing good. How many of y'all slept in the house last night? How many of y'all the heat even came on? That's good. How many of y'all woke up this morning and said, I'm going to Shoney's? How many of y'all woke up and said, I hope Pastor Steve don't preach real long today because we're going to the breakfast bar? Huh? See what I'm saying? How many of y'all woke up this morning and said, man, I got somebody that loves me? Everyone who should have his name is Jesus. You see, now look here. Here's what we got to do, though. Now hold on, Christians, followers of Christ. Our job, though, is not to leave people poor. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You're not going to like it. You know why this nation is talking about poverty? Because the church hadn't been what we're supposed to be. Now, I'm telling you the truth. Who's to take care of poverty? Church. We have a mandate. God never told the government to take care of poverty because he knew they'd rip everybody off. I haven't met a government yet in history. Y'all are seeing my political understandings. People ask me all the time, well, what party are you in? I said, the conspiracy party. I believe everybody's always up to something. And never one time have I heard them come good with what anybody told me since I've been alive. There's always a tweak to it.
Even the bailout. We're supposed to be bailing out banks. And now, what? Lord have mercy. Guess what? Here's how stupid we are. We gave people who only love their own individual power $700 billion. That's like giving a cocaine addict a sand pile of cocaine. What do you think they're going to do with it?
I'm not snorting that.
Now you got an image. But we as the church got to love folk. Look what he said, I laid down my life for you. Oh, this is how we know what the love of Jesus is, that he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Church, I want to tell you something. Are any of you all got a little bit of confidence because we belong to the body of Christ that no matter what happens, we're going to be all right? That wasn't a very sturdy amen. That was, I'm going to bail myself out. Now, who are we supposed to take care of? The brothers and sisters. Alan Reed, you may not like it, but you my brother. See, we've been using the wrong language in church. Wanda, you are my sister. You say, well, how can we be kin? In Christ. And until we get this relationship established, the world will not know the intensity of Jesus. Now, note to this. It says, I am obligated to take care of you, my brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, let me see what I believe about this. I don't believe I'm obligated to take care of everybody. I don't believe that. I'm to love everybody, but I have a special relationship with those who are in Christ. Got to be some benefit to living this faith out. What do you think? How many of y'all, when you live in your family, there's certain things that go on in your family name? Any of y'all have that? Under your family name, you were exposed to certain things. We're under the name of Christ. Follow me. Our first obligation is to take care of who? Each other. That's why membership's important. We practice this here at Hillview. Guess what? We're going to take care of the folks that give here and live here and worship here and study here and pray here and work out their faith here in this community. Those are the first folks we take care of. I got people that call all the time. They say, Pastor Harris, we need some rent money. I said, where do y'all go to church? Well, we go to da-da-da-da. I said, call them. Why am I obligated? You wouldn't believe this. We got people that leave Hillview, go to another church, and call us to pay their rent. I said, you ain't functioning in this body. You're not a part of the giving and the loving of this body. This particular body is what? We're in here to be strengthened together. If I lost y'all, y'all got the deer in the headlight look on me. Am I there? I know I'm breaking apart your lollipop ship gospel where we just flow through the world and touch everybody with the magic Jesus foo-foo dust. No, this is real. Here's what he said. You can't walk by another Christian and not make sure, watch this, that they can walk with you. And so I'm going to end on this. I'm going to quit preaching. Y'all okay? We've got to take this in little chunks. Because here's the thing. This is new for a lot of us. Now, let me help you with this. What are you all thinking right now? Any of y'all got suspicious minds like me? Anybody here a pragmatist? You say, what do you do about people that take advantage of this? Anybody have that thought? Because I bet there's some people in the body of Christ, they're going to do absolutely nothing. And you got to understand, though, when your brother's really hurting, now, what did I clarify there? Really hurting. Yeah. Watch this. I remember one time I told you all this story. We needed a bed, and I tried to go to my dad and get a bed, and I had a boat, and my dad helped me. Guess what he said? Go sell your boat, and you'll get a bed. I held on my boat, figured out how to get a bed. But it made me think. But guess what? He didn't give me one. Why? He did not want to reinforce my stupidity. Now, God hadn't called us to reinforce people's stupidity.
He's called us to bless them. Watch this. When Jesus laid down his life, did he make me stupid or did he call me sound? He called me to soundness by grace. Not to continue in my sin, but to what? Repent of it and discontinue sinful activity so I might understand godly activity so I might live a full and abundant what? Life. And he laid down his life for that. Look at this. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but according to actions and in what? That'll change the world. That'll change the world. Now I'm going to warn you. If you're going to love people, guess what some of them are going to do? Come on, speak up so y'all can get over this. They're going to take advantage of you. We got people that get money from this church and they rip us off. But guess what some of them do? They get an eternal blessing and their lives get turned around. Here's where I stand as a pastor. I'll take a few rip-offs to get to some authentic blessings. What do you think? We can't call it perfect. People get so mad, they go, hey, people took advantage of us. Those people are probably going to hell. So let them eat and drink and be merry while they can. I mean, it gets this real eventually. Let me tell you what. You pretty lost individual to take advantage of God. Let me help you. If you used to rip money off out of the offering plate, you probably lost. Give you some things that will help you understand if you're lost. If you don't care about anybody but yourself, I would check my salvation. It probably has not connected. Because when it's connected, you got a love for people that's unquenchable. And we got to help some folk always. Y'all been doing a great job at that. But we got to really come together and make sure we're concentrated on that. Amen. Any of you all last week during the budget presentation, was anybody surprised at all the things that go on in your church? Was anybody surprised? No? Y'all knew all those things were going on? Y'all are a lot sharper than me. I'm the pastor, and I didn't know all those things were going on. There's a lot of things going on, and we're trying to get people to what? Understand that Jesus Christ died on the cross. He's risen from the grave. He loves them, and we want people to get better. Amen? Some things that will help people right now. Financial peace will help people. Why are a lot of people in financial problems? I mean, those are real problems. Why? Debt. Debt kills things. Why? The Bible said, don't be subject to the what? Lender. Even if it is Citibank. How many of y'all got a slavery card in your wallet? Called a Visa? Or a MasterCard? Or an American Express that ain't expressing so much anymore? Huh? What do we do with those? Well, come on, let me deal with the real issue. How come y'all get all itchy? Y'all look like you're wearing wool today. I get down here and really deal with where the gospel makes contact, and y'all are like, well, now let's not talk about the credit thing because I'm a part of that. No, let's talk about it. I'm a part of that. Let's talk about how we get ourselves in these dilemmas. How do we get ourselves in these dilemmas? I'm guilty. I know I'm guilty as your pastor. I have spent on what I didn't need before. Anybody else ever done that? How many of y'all have ever gone to Big Lots? You know what my favorite store in town is? Big Lots. You know why? There's a deal over there. There's a deal. And when I go to Big Lots, it is my favorite store. Elizabeth, if I've been really good for 2 or 3 weeks, so I only get to do this twice a year, she'll go, you've been really good. You won't go to Big Lots. We live a simple life. Because guess what's in Big Lots? How many of y'all have ever seen a deal over at Big Lots? How many of y'all know it's going to tear up before it gets to the house? But it looks like it's a good what?
Deal.
Harold, you appreciate this? I had to have me a come-along. I went and got me one of them Big Lot come-alongs, you know? Because it was a deal. I think it's 2 for $5. I hooked up my come-along project outside. I get my come-along, this side hook, that side hook. I said, I got me a Big Lot come-along. Boom! Soon as I cranked it, every spring in the thing came flying out. I come flying back. Now guess what? And I'm mad. Here's who I should have been mad at. Heirs, do you think a $2.50 come along is going to move that log? No, Lord, but I was trying to do it cheap. And here's where I want to stop on. God has done nothing cheap. He laid down His life for us. Now, here's what I'm telling you guys. Don't pass by and just pray. Become the prayer. Become the prayer. So I want to open this altar. If you have not been baptized, it's time to get that done. Obviously, if you've never asked Jesus Christ in your life, today's the day. Okay? No bailout. It's the total remake. God's going to forgive you of every bit of sin. His name is Jesus. And you're going to be placed in a different way to live. Isn't that cool? Maybe you just need to come and pray and say, God, I've forgotten. I'm supposed to make a difference where I am. And I'm so worried about changing the world, I forgot to change my neighborhood. That's easy to do. And so just come, and this altar's open right now, and pray and bless. And Kathy Goff, our prayers are with you. Kathy lost her daddy this week. And I want the church to pray. And others of you that have lost loved ones this week, let's come and pray for that. That's real stuff. And let's ask God to bless this place, all right? Lord, as you're bringing people to the altar, those that need to be saved, may they be saved. Those that need to be baptized, may they be baptized. Lord, those that have lost loved ones, send the power of your comfort. And Father, right now, just bless this place. Amen.